completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of our game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Hey, if you had not had an opportunity to grab your pair of Trauma and Their Cousins available on PatriceBrantley.com, make sure you grab a set. We want to stop the trauma and get to the bonding. All right, let's jump on in. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Nicole Odom Hardick. Did I say it right?
Arnett, yes.
Okay, hello. Who will share with us some amazing tips on relationships, communication, and truly having a healthy, blended family. Let's take a minute, y'all. Let's welcome her. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's definitely a pleasure to be here. So I'm so excited.
I am too, honey. I see you getting ready to give me some good stuff, and I need some in my house, so I'm ready to do this. So to give everybody a little bit of background about you, what's your story?
So I've been in a blended family now we've been married for almost 9 years. We've been together for almost 12 years. We've known each other, I think it's been 19 years. And when I say known each other, it was just like, we met because my son used to go, my oldest son, used to go to his daycare. So we didn't like know each other. Gotcha. I was just a customer. That was it. So it's strictly business. Okay.
We know Raheem Devon got a song about that customer, not that hand. All right. So you met your guy in that way, but I want to take us back a little bit because, you know, everybody loves that beautiful ending and we see us in the gown and we like, girl, Shashay, Shantae, do your thing. But I want to talk about the dating process. Let me be real. Just over here single. And I'm tired of taking out that trash on Tuesday. Let me just be real about that. What does it look like in the dating process? Were you the person that says, I'm looking for my Boaz? Were you the person that was like, I'm writing the list? How was that for you?
So eventually I got to the point where I wrote a list. And that was because I met a whole lot of frogs. I was married before. That didn't work. So I just took what people said about me, what I had been through, what I seen did work and didn't work, the people that I liked and didn't like, their personality traits and things that I liked about them. And I just threw that all into my list. What were my deal breakers? Like, I was very serious and very purposeful in this list.
Okay, what does that look like when you talk about being purposeful in this list? Because I have to be honest, my list, I don't want a little cute prince with the 4'2" with the cute boots. I need a man with a little height who know how to scoop a sister up. I'm a little thick. So what does that look like, okay? What does that look like to be purposeful in my list?
Okay, so I'm not a smoker. Oh, never had been. I've never even smoked a cigarette. So I know my deal breaker is someone who smoked. My ex-husband hid that from me for a very long time. So, yeah. And I'm very observant. And so he did an excellent job. So I know he was probably like doing cartwheels trying to hide that from me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's a deal breaker for me.
Okay.
So that's not something I would put on my list. I needed a God-fearing man. So he didn't necessarily have to go to church every Sunday, but at the head of my household, someone, we needed to pray. He had to be faith-driven.
I love it.
I'm a faith-driven woman. That was on my list. A respectful man. He needs to respect me and his household. I wanted someone tall. I'm 5'9". I don't want to look down on anyone.
Okay, well, listen, if I put on my stats, I'd be about close to that. So I go with that. So I'm taking some notes here. So you're telling me I'm faith-driven, which, yes, I am a faith-driven woman. Mm-hmm. Didn't want short, but I will say I am open. I just, you know, get you some... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really have to be realistic. I needed someone who was self-motivated and driven, someone who is a good communicator, someone who was not afraid of a, I'm a bully, of a, of a strong woman. So that person had to have a strong but yet understanding and realistic personality.
Oh, okay. So hold on. I see some pieces here. Because as you're talking about that being a strong woman, because you know that has been the catchphrase that I've heard quite some time. You know, you can intimidate a man. You know, mm-hmm. You want to be the man instead of letting a man be the man for you. And I'm gonna be honest, when I heard that, I was like, what does that mean? I have yet to get an explanation. So somebody got
So let me explain. In my last marriage, I was basically the man because I made all the decisions in the household. Okay. That man brought home the check to me because I was better with the whole accounting. I made sure that all the bills were paid on time or before time. But I made all the decisions of what we were going to do with the money in the house.
Gotcha.
I made the decisions of where the kids were going to go to school. I made a decision where we were going to go on vacation. I made a decision what appliances were going to come in the house, what appliances were going to leave the house, whether the kids were going to go to school that day, whether they weren't, just what should be done. I ran the household, whether we needed a new air condition, every decision to be made, whether we're going to go to dinner that night or not, I made the decisions.
Okay.
In the house. So basically when someone was asked to jump, they asked me how high were they going to jump or should they jump? That was my previous marriage or most of my previous relationships. I made the decisions. We didn't come together in making decisions. It was me.
Okay. So in this process, because I know that's something for me, I've been told, you know, you can be intimidating. I necessarily don't want to have to make all the decisions, but it sounds like with the young man you're with now, that you have a teamwork attitude.
Yes, we make decisions together. So, for instance, we just got a new air conditioner in the house.
Okay.
He took charge on that. We had discussed it previously about the purchase of an air conditioner, but he pulled the trigger on that because he knew it was needed. We discussed, we live in Texas now, and we discussed, okay, we don't want to be in this house without an AC. That is a no-brainer. That is a mute point. We don't want to be in Texas without an AC working. We think we should get one because he kept hearing these noises with the current AC the previous AC that we had, one of the units. And he said, okay, I think we should call somebody out. We should get some quotes and on and on and on. He took care of all of that. Whereas in my previous marriage, I had to take care of that. I had to call people out. I had to see what they said. I had to do everything.
So what I'm hearing is the communication
is totally different. It is we talk about things that need to be done in our household or with our children. It's not one person making all decisions unless it's an emergency of some sort and it needs to be done right then and there. But normally we have already talked about what we want to do for as far as vacations or as far as our finances, our savings, or whatever the case may be. We have already discussed it ahead of time.
So what I love is that you talk about in your previous marriage, it was more of a one-side decision-making, and now in your current, it is more of a team-based thing. And listening to talk about it, it took me back to one of my things that I love to say. You know, I always tell people there's talking versus listening versus hearing. Talking is just when you just running your mouth. You're doing your thing.
Right.
You got to get it. Listening is when that, I hear you, and somebody's like this. Tell me what I said. They give you last two words or last few words. Hearing somebody is really taking the time to really dig in and hear, not just with the ears, but with the heart.
Exactly.
Making it purposeful to say, I want to hear what they have to say. What they're saying to me is valuable and they're important to me. So it sounds like that's the connect that you all have in this current relationship.
Right. And it started early on in the relationship because he asked me, what did I expect? Or what were my expectations from this relationship? And I said, I don't have any because I don't know you.
Whoa, hello, somebody.
You know, and I think that's where sometimes a lot of us as women, we go wrong. You know, you go on a date or two or maybe three with a man and all of a sudden, oh, he's my boo, he's my baby and I love him and all this type of stuff. But you don't know that man. You don't know him. He could still be a serial killer or he could take all your money. So you have to be careful.
Listen, we only know serial killers in the physical, not definitely not in the financial.
Exactly. So I'm like, oh, I don't need to know you. I just wait a minute. Hold up. I wanted to be purposeful because I had read some books. I had been through some things. So, I really needed to take my time because I'm older now and I just needed to know what's going on. I need to know what's going on with you. You got some things going on in the background. I had some things going on in the background. So I needed to, take some slow steps into this. So we can really get to know each other. We need to really be friends. You know, everybody says, oh, we were friends first. No, we need to really be friends first. So that's not, ain't no friends with benefits. I said, okay, you gonna get some, but we gonna hold up.
Gotcha.
That's how it's gonna be. So I'm gonna call the shots on that because I control the cookie.
Hello. Can somebody what I love about it is that you said that you all were friends first. And I know for me, that's a very big thing because I feel like you can get a man is a man a dozen. A boo is literally one every penny.
Mm-hmm.
Friend, somebody who truly values you and treasures you and respects you and knows that at the end of the day, I wouldn't want to hurt my friend.
Right.
Such a different experience.
Right.
And so I love that. So, okay. So now you're making me want to keep my little thing. I want my homie love a friend. I want that part. Hello, somebody write that list down. That's what I want. I love that because as you talk about that communication and how it started early and y'all matured that and kind of walked into that, when did it get to the point when you realized, yep, he's the one?
So, I can't really even put a finger on it. It just happened because the communication, it just got deep, and it wasn't deep like on an intimate level, like physical. We were just talking about so many things. We talked about business, we talked about our kids, we just talked about just everything, our dreams, our desires. We both were in relationships. His was on paper, mine wasn't. So when we met, we were both physically living with someone. But I was like so mental. Well, both of us were really so mentally detached from our relationships that we were like fresh air for each other.
Mm.
We talked about our situations, but we talked about them lightly. So that wasn't the basis of our conversation. Our kids were our focus. We helped each other with our children and how to parent better. We gave each other different perspectives on parenting. You know, he was raising, at the time, his daughters. I was raising my sons, so it helped me to get a male perspective. And of course it helped him to get a female perspective.
So now I'm hearing all this and you giving me good stuff. I'm loving this right now. When did y'all decide to intro the kids into this mix?
So again, with him being on paper with his and me not, I knew that I was moving out. I had a plan. I was in grad school. I had a plan. His plan was to wait to move out until one of his youngest daughter got into high school. And I'm like, oh, no. Nah. If that's your plan, I'm out.
I know that's right. You're wasting my time, sir.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to stay on ice. I don't like that whole, this is not my style anyway of dating a married man. If y'all not together like that, y'all separated upstairs, downstairs, living arrangements and all that type of stuff like that. So he revamped his thing really quickly after that conversation and he moved out. And then we introduced the kids because it started going in a, well, it's the conversation was going in a whole nother direction. And I'm like, okay, we can't do this if you still in your situation. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, he had a real estate agent looking for a place and I'm like, okay, here we go.
So you know what that tells me? That tells me not every man will change, but the right man will change for you.
That's right. That's right.
So many times let me speak for just me, at moments I tend to try to make the wrong man the right man for the time. But the right man is going to line up and say, you know what? I value her, I treasure her, and I'm going to change and do what I need to do for her.
That's right. And you don't have to force it. I stood my ground. I said my piece. That was it. I didn't say, oh, well, you need to do this and you got to do that. I said those words. Okay, if that's your plan, that's fine. But I'm not going to be in that. That was it.
So in other words, you don't have to lower your standard.
No, you don't. If it's meant to be, it will be. And I let him make that decision from there. And like I said, the next thing I know, he contacted his real estate agent and he was looking for a place. All right. And my mother told him, you either piss or get off the pot. That was all she said to him.
Oh, shout out to mama. Yes. Go ahead, mama. Let him know.
That was it. That was the only two things that was it. So after that, it was on him to make his decision, because I'm not begging anyone to be with me. I'm not gonna lower my standards because I know my worth. And that's what's with these women. We need to know, you have to know your worth. If you are a good woman and you know you're a good woman, you out here, you know, grinding and doing your thing, then you gonna find a man and it'll be a good man. One that's gonna respect you and treat you like the queen that you are.
Okay, you know what, you're giving me good stuff right now. I'm telling you, just hit me. You hit me all up in here. So I want to go back. So now y'all are here together. Life is wonderful. How does it go into this blended piece? Because I have to be very honest, in our community, it seems to be that it's never blended. It's always, well, I don't like her, she don't like me, and all of this. And I don't even think we have an example of what that looks like. So I'm excited to know, you know, what does it look like for you? How did we get to that point?
So we stay in our separate places for, I think it had to be about a year. And so we're staying with each other weekends off, weekends on, and things like that, because he does a split weekends. My kids live with me. My youngest son is with my mom because I'm in grad school and it's very intense. So eventually we have the conversation that we're going to do this thing. We're going to live together. So after the year's time, we live together and we bring everybody together and we're in one big house and during that time, we talked about getting married. And that's what happened. We found a big house enough to accommodate everyone, and we're together.
All right, now when you say comedy, everyone, how many is everyone?
So it was five kids in a house because his two older boys, they were already out on their own. They were in college. And so they were out of the house. When we moved into the house, the oldest daughter spent one night and then she went off to college. So it was actually four kids inside of the house. And then the kids would come home for holidays and things like that. So in total, it's seven kids.
Whoa, okay.
Periodically in the house at any given time. But the oldest ones, they primarily live with their mom.
So what would be some tips that you would share with someone who's in the same space? They now got married, they met the kids, they're there, but what are the tips that you would give them to keep that relationship and foster that relationship with the bonus baby?
So one, your communication with your husband, partner, spouse, whatever you want to call them, has to be on point, because there came times when, of course, the kids try to play one against the other. There will be times when you may have one, you may have a couple of the outside individuals try to come in and do something crazy to, you know, come in and tear things apart, say things, whatever, or say things to the kids and it caused chaos in your household. What we did was my husband and I first sought therapy to make our communication even stronger. And then the kids got therapy.
What I love about it is you didn't take it and make it something that just kind of sat to the side. You all went and were very proactive about getting out there and making sure that this happened, that you all got all the tools that you all needed to make this a great situation for not just you and him, but also for the kids. And I applaud you for that, because I feel like a lot of times people just focus on me and my man, and me and my woman, and we forget the kids in this process.
Right. Because it's a lot for them, because especially when, like, his daughters, they lived with both parents all their lives. Now they're teenagers, and you go to living with someone else. That's enough stress within itself.
Yes.
Then coupled with one going off to college, and then another, you're in high school, and then another from going from middle school into high school. High school is something also within itself. So we just felt they needed someone else to talk to outside of parents, to get whatever it is they may have that may be bothering them with all these situations, the transition from house to house, school and everything. We just thought it would be a lot. So talking to a professional would definitely help them or benefit whatever it is they may be going through.
I love it. You gave me a good one, because you literally showed that therapy is something that helped you in this process into your path of happiness, your continued path to happiness. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a wonderful one. Do you have any other tips you want to share with us?
So therapy definitely helped. Continue therapy throughout the process until you get your family the way that when you feel comfortable. Because if all the adults in your situation aren't on the same page, if you're not blessed enough to have that, it could be some real chaos in the midst, which it was for me. It was chaotic at one point. And getting through that, you really have to be patient. And that was something that I didn't have, was patience in the beginning. And I quickly developed some patience, because it took about 2 years for my family to be really, I guess, stable at a comfortable point.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me some good stuff on that one. I gotta say, for those taking notes, first thing, we talked about the dating process. We talked about making that list. We talked about the connection, the relationship, the communication. We talked about connecting in with the kids. But what I love in this process all the way around was that you left me with a major last thought, patience. So many times, especially in this world we live in now, we all want, well, I shouldn't say we all, most people want the microwave quick timing, but we want the home-cooked crock-pot meal. It doesn't work that way. And I love how you gave us like literally a little glimpse into your world and said, this is what we use. These were our steps and our tools. And I just thank you. I'm so overjoyed of you sharing that with me because, yeah, I don't want to cancel out good people because maybe they got some enemies behind them. I don't want to, you know, get overzealous and jump and say, this is what it should look like. You know,
right.
There was some beautifully bumpy steps in the road, but the road ended up to a beautiful destination.
Right. You know, I don't think anything, when you look at it, sometimes you have to look at things a different way. You look at things through a different lens. One way it could be a little crusty or rocky on one way you look at it. Then as you look at it a little while longer, it turns out to be beautiful. So it just depends on what lens you're looking at it through.
All right, y'all, I got to have her come back. She gave me so much good stuff. I got notes. I'm on point now. I can go out here and date purposefully, and hopefully the right one will find me. I don't need to look for him. He's going to find me.
That's right.
So, all right, y'all. So thank y'all very much for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of our game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. I want to thank my special guest, Ms. Nicole Oden-Hardick, for coming in. She did an amazing job. She definitely will be back, okay, y'all? And make sure that you grab your copy of Trauma and Their Cousins, available at patricebrantley.com. All right, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great because we are great, and our greatness is now. That's right, y'all, now, and it no longer awaits. You all have an amazing day.
Completely redesigned, Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.